Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Survivor Specialists are back. And last week we had Alexa. This week we have Blake, who is pumped. He's amped. He's ready to go. Will be back next Wednesday night. Sorry, everybody, for him being out. I know there's been some confusion. For anybody wondering about Blake's merits here, you should be watching our connections video, all that fun stuff. He works in casting. He likes doing casting stuff, not on Survivor, just on other stuff. So he knows what he's talking about. Dude, you never know. People tune in and they're after Alexa and they're like, who the hell is this ass? I am wearing my Boy Genius shirt here right now. Any chance I can get to, you know, represent Julian Baker. Yes, Phoebe Bridgers and Lucy Dacus are also in there, but Julian Baker. Any chance I can get, I will take. And it does not take what is written on my shirt to know to play your idol if you have an idol in Survivor. What
I was about to say
is everybody doing? Oh my God. Like, I understand I didn't lose $1 million off of this. And actually, I gained a lot of entertainment in my life. But what are you doing? You are the strongest person in the game. You are the strongest competitor from a physical standpoint. You have the idol. You're 50-50. You have proven you can find an idol. Go find another. Play it. Survivor is not scared to give you advantages. There will be another. If you are going out to play season 47, if you are going out to play season 48, if you get an idol, play your idol. Play your idol. Play your idol. All right, speaking of my idol, Blake, go ahead. You're my idol.
Your name is literally Hunter. You're going to be the one who gets the idol. I was going to say your shirt is definitely not Hunter merch. That's the other joke I was going to say. What else was I going to say? I'm actually just going by B now so I can go like my idol Q because that's crazy. He survived that one. Honestly, greedy, greedy, greedy is all I can say about the one word of like people who win Survivor are never greedy. Like when you go, hey, I want to vote out your third best ally, people that win Survivor say, sure, go for it. When people say, hey, you're probably going to be targeted until you go because you're the best physical competition, you probably say, okay, I'll play my idol the first time I lose. I'm not going to get greedy and try to save your idol for what? Next time when you're clearly the vote instead of only halfway clearly the vote? It was just something where you're like, did you not watch Bruce last season? You didn't watch Bruce last season?
You didn't watch Bruce last season. That is the actual answer to that question. They did not watch Bruce last season.
This episode was sick, though, all the way through.
This was phenomenal, man. Yo, okay, so here's the deal. I got to give my dig here at Hunter, and then I move on. Look,
His name is Hunter.
He should have played it. He knows he should have played it. I'm sure he's been kicking himself rightfully for months and months and months now. But here's the deal. This was the first time at a tribal council in a very long time that I was sitting there going, oh my God, are they lying to him? Are they telling him the truth? Should he play it? Should he not? Should he play it? Should he not? And then it gets
to
the point
of both.
Yeah. Now, this was a purposeful split vote, and we'll talk about that. But, dude, you know what the thing is? They're all chaotic, and that is great TV. And I found this episode so damn entertaining from start to finish. What's crazy about this episode is that this wasn't the season filmed for 90 minutes. This was the season they weren't sure if they were going to get 90 minutes. 45, they knew they were going to get 90 minutes. This season, they didn't know. And this cast and this whatever they put together is delivering on all fronts. Like, I am loving every second of the post-Banu double episode. That's not a knock on Banu. That is the fact that there were two episodes telling the same story. After the second one of those episodes, this season has been delivering nonstop. It is so damn good. Jem and Hunter, build them statues in your backyard if you're going to play Survivor and stare at them every single night before you go to bed. Burn their faces into your memory, because there is no reason you should be getting voted out with an idol in your pocket these days. Just play it. Just play it. Just play it. But dude, like, Hunter not playing it.
Mermaid Dragon got to him.
Kenzie, Kenzie,
you know what you don't want to do is go up to Kenzie and say, I'm your number one. And she just spent the first 20 minutes of the day after you lost the challenge being like, let's vote him out. I think it was interesting. You could see that the continuity was a little off if she had the water visit with Ben before walking away with Hunter, because she had like water all over her pants or whatever. I was like, what the hell is going on? And I was like, oh, here's where she was. Mm-hmm. So that was like, are you paying attention to what's going on here? So I don't know if that was an editing mistake or maybe she went and sat in the water twice, but it was something where you're like, what is going on? Why are you telling so many people so much stuff of like, yes, I voted for you last night, Venus. I knew no one would be mad. I was mad. Well, I don't give a crap about that. Yeah, you're mad all the time. And then you tell that person less than 24 hours later, hey, by the way, I have an idol. Like, why are you telling people you have an idol? Because you're greedy. It's literally a thing where, like, I think that's a new era thing of, I can play out of insurmountable things. No. The people are smart enough now where I know Hunter thinks he can get out of this scenario by talking his way out. So let's play into that. I think whenever you pull up the votes at the end, Q was the one who said it was Ben. Yes. So it was a straight up 5-4 to be
Q almost voted himself.
Is a normal person, it's a 5-4. It wasn't a perfect split to get him out in a revote, even though that works out and is so sexy of like, now you know you're going, you're not playing your idol, and you get to dread it and ask us one more time, and then we'll, who knows what happened, because we're not going to show those videos, but or those votes. But it was interesting of like, why do you think you can get out of this insurmountable instead of just take the free round? Mm-hmm. And like, oh, wow, you lose Q. And maybe that's a physical threat that will win some of these challenges in the next couple episodes. But like, it was just so weird of how did you go from being top dog to out in like a day?
Well, okay. So
he was against the votes last time, but technically.
And here's the thing. So first I'm going to say, like this video if you're watching, subscribe to the channel, make sure you do all that stuff. I got to get that in early. I forget to do it and then people don't like the video. So like the video. Although everybody last week just saw Alexa's face and was like. So good. But here's the deal. Yeah, sorry, Blake. Come on, guys. Blake. But here's the deal. This was what made it even more frustrating for me. Every single person on that island lied to you last week. Every single one of them. The only people who didn't vote for Tevin last week are named Hunter and Tevin. And right. Tevin is sitting over there. And Hunter, you're sitting here. Everybody lied. Now you're going to go up and you're going to talk to Venus, and you're going to talk to Liz, who you just said, I don't trust Liz at all anymore. I don't trust Q at all anymore. Why are you putting your game in their hands? Oh my God. I know he's probably beating himself up, and I don't want to like dig in so hard at him, but this is just more for like, James Clement made this mistake in season 15. He died so we could live. Why are we still he's dying still 31 seasons later?
Don't like, say that. James Clement's my favorite. James Clement. He laid down his idols so we could live. I do think another layer of this is you let these people get one up on you.
Yes.
Like, I'm sure... What do you want to do when you lived every day on the same day as Venus? And now because you didn't play your idol, Venus has scoreboard on you in Survivor history?
Yeah.
Like, why do you want that to happen? Oh, Liz, maybe you still like Liz. I don't want to be less placed than Q. I don't want to do worse in this game than Q. Play your idol. Get one step ahead. And then you don't... I don't know if anybody thinks about that when they're on the island, but like, I'm fine with losing to Maria. She's pretty good. I lost to Charlie. He beat me physically. Great. But I don't want to lose to some of these other people that are goats. Like, let me get one step ahead and eliminate a goat here and get Q out of that.
That's the wrong one. Where is it? This one. Colin SC just popping in real quick to say that everybody that shunned Venus at NAMI is now sitting on the jury. So here we go. Right? You're talking about why would you give her scoreboard forever? Here's the deal. Based on her post-game stuff, I think she got scoreboard. I am totally buying in now that she finishes third. I am 100% in. There is Venus's name's not even gonna come up the rest of the year. It's done. And she's not understanding why Hunter and Tevin and Soda don't want to vote for her at the end, because she's thinking in her head, I made the move, I got you out, why wouldn't you vote for me? They're gonna sit there and vote for whoever they like more than her, which right now feels like Charlie. Because Charlie is the one in this episode who really made all of this happen.
Charlie's the superstar of this episode, of having the most information. Like, Tiffany's talking to him when it doesn't feel like it. He's balancing both Tiffany, both Maria. Okay, I know Maria wants Tiffany out, but is that the smartest thing? I like the idea. I guess it was Ben that said you only get the T-Rex once. I think that's a phenomenal line that, like, as soon as that said out loud, I'm pretty sure all the producers were like, damn, I hope Hunter goes tonight.
And he said, we don't want to have a Jurassic Park sequel. And what did they learn after making the Jurassic Park sequels? They shouldn't have
only do one.
Here's Patrick Stahl. Thank you, Patrick Stahl, for the super like here. Greatly appreciated. Have we gotten enough players who went home with an idol yet to make a full cast, or maybe just one tribe and a fans versus dodos? We could. I mean, honestly, if you go between people who have given up immunity or been voted out with idols or advantages that would have swung the vote, you absolutely
not
have
very to. Many women, though. It's usually dudes, right? I feel like women, Kelly, with idol,
Jem, Aubrey, Wentworth. I there's plenty.
Whoops.
Yeah, there's probably more. I mean, there's plenty. Those were just off the top.
Andrea,
of my
yep, Andrea, she's coming back to play a fourth. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, bring her back. Oh my God, we got all stars. Blake, I was trying to give half of the world an excuse here, but
Lauren, technically, that's a good point, because Lauren misplayed her. So yeah, here you go. Okay, anyway, Shan. Oh my God. Okay, so we at least have a 16 person season. Blake, you're a clown. no, Kelly Kim, Nicola. It's Kelly Kim. Andy Vogel pulls up Drea, dude. You just everybody. So anyway. Jeez. Let's move off this very quickly so that we don't just sit here and list.
I'm glad you guys are specialists. I'm more special, I guess, when it comes to
you're special because you're on the podcast, but that's it, man. That's all you got.
I think starting off the episode, though, it was very interesting. We start off with Liz being like, God damn it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to really set myself apart, and that be important to maybe not only her, but to how to win the game is you have to set yourself apart. Because we say that again later of like, well, this is technically Kinsey's plan, but it works for us, so who cares if she gets credit? But Liz going, Q really ruined this for me. This was my shining moment, and Q just put matte painting all over it. That doesn't really make sense. Q got a big light on the other side, and it was weird being like, well, that's what Liz took away from that tribal? is very interesting as a character by for her.
So you thought you this bothered you because I was texted by some people who said that they didn't understand why she was so frustrated by this. But to me, I think this is what I think was going through her head. I think she is seeing where she's going to lose the game. I think right. She is seeing that she is going to lose because people are not respecting her as a player. And look, I respect the self-awareness and the understanding from Liz to know that she does not have what is necessary in order to win this game. I respect the hell out of that. Good for her. My thing is, people are going to be confused. Why is this the thing? This whole episode, we saw people saying, I want the credit. I want the credit. I want the credit. I think the reason we're getting that at this point is because before they left, the last thing they saw was season 44, as far as I know. And in the finale of season 44, Carolyn, who is incredibly well-liked by everybody on the jury, gets zero votes. In the finale of 43, Owen, who is very well-liked by everybody on the jury, gets zero votes. In the finale of 42, Romeo, not the most well-liked, but Mike Turner is, gets one vote. At the finale of 41, Xander, who was liked by some people over there, Deshaun, who was liked by some, they get one vote between the two of them. So that's where I think that they're seeing this and saying, I need credit. This needs to be my move, or I'm wasting my time making it to final three and I'm sitting there and I'm getting nothing. And I think that's why somebody like Venus is so frustrated when she's going to ultimately get to final three, because she's going to be sitting there saying, but guys, I made these moves, because she's thinking she is making these moves, but she's really not. So that's why I think Liz is so frustrated. Liz needs to make moves. She knows that she doesn't have much of a resume. She's got to get her resume going. And the only way she can get her resume going is if people see it. Right now, this felt like the Jake or the Owen line of, I keep trying, but it's not working. And if nobody realizes it's your move, there's really nothing you can do.
There's two things that pop in my head here of like, based on all this information, I am hoping, praying to Jeff Probst himself that during the final tribal council, that someone sits up on this jury and nails a speech and goes, yeah, everyone was worried about getting credit, but there was a person who didn't care about this, moved like water, got everyone where they needed to be, and nailed it. Because if not, we're headed in the opposite wrong direction. I'm hoping the people that are about to play 40 several aren't watching this and being like, okay, I need credit too, where we can turn the tide a little bit and be like, it's a spider. That was terrifying again.
So many people. Come on, so, man.
So many spiders. I feel like I'm on Survivor. What happens though is like, the other way is it's going to be somebody who goes, I will be able to take credit piece by piece throughout all of this. And yes, they're just laying those. And I feel like if that is true, the person who got the credit for this, even though it's sideways and it was going to be Tiffany, but now we're going back to Hunter, is like either Siga or Kinsey are the four that are doing it.
Yeah. Right now, to me, I agree with you. I think Joe Justice says that was impressive, Blake. So good job, Blake.
Yeah, it was a small spider.
What I am seeing right now, in my opinion, is Charlie, and I'm going to dive into some of Charlie's moves in this episode. I'm seeing Maria. I am seeing potentially Ben, and I am seeing potentially Kenzie. I think the problem for Tiffany right now is Tiffany's almost like she has the idol, so she's not having to do anything. And I think that people are going to, I feel like other people are getting closer with other players, and it's going to come down to how bitter is this jury. Is Hunter going to be super bitter, or is he willing to vote for Kenzie at the end? Because if Kenzie, Tiff, and Venus are sitting next to each other, if he can get over the fact that Kenzie masterminded this, then he's going to vote for Kenzie to win because he likes her the most out of those three. And I feel like that's what's happening to Tiffany right now. Tiffany is playing a very good game, but she's playing a very insulated game. And we did our, for our patrons, we're doing Survivor Thailand this season, for this month. So like for the next 4 weeks, but seriously, I know, cross yourself, because it's not easy to get through. But we were talking about how Brian Heidick played like almost a perfect game of Survivor, despite only winning 4-3, because he made relationships with four people. The other three people, he couldn't name their sisters, their kids, their wives, their husbands. He did not give a shit. They did not exist to him. And the thing right now is, I'm not saying that's how Tiffany's playing. She's not playing like Brian Heidick, but does she have four guaranteed votes if she sits at the final three? I don't think she does. I also don't know if you just smeared Vaseline on your camera or not. What the hell
is autofocus or some bullshit? The two things that I think go with what you're just saying is the only thing that Hunter did say was, I'm not close to Ben. And that felt like a completely out of the, like, is he trying to vote Ben off? Or maybe this is explaining his future vote of like, oh, Ben's going to get close, but not beat Kinsey or whoever is against him because of the things like this of like, yeah, he's the rock guy in the corner, but he hasn't really talked to me much harder than that. The other thing with Tiffany, it feels like, I don't know how many edgic people we have in our chat at the time, but like, pretty negative episode for Tiffany of she's not reconciling with Q. She's shutting that door. She's making sure somebody currently playing with her knows, I am never working with you again. Yes, it's Q who almost went home, but that's not normally how people win Survivor, is cutting off lines of communication and being like, eat it, shove it. Who gives a shit about you, brother? I don't care. And like, I think that negativity for a winner hasn't really been there in a while, especially in the new era. So that's an interesting thing of like, can somebody be that rude to somebody and still get their vote and win at the end?
I don't think she'll get Q's vote, but at this point, I don't think it matters. And I think also like they're purposely. So if you look at how these votes shook out tonight, it was 4-4 and Q voted for Ben. They purposely left Q out of this, knowing that Q would have been the deciding vote for Hunter. Because what they knew with the vote split that they did, because it was a purposeful vote split by the other eight people or other seven people out there. No, other six people. It was the other six people minus other seven people minus Q and Hunter. Nine. That's what it was. Yeah, finally got there. They purposely did this knowing that Q and Hunter could only vote for themselves. So they positioned it where it would be 4-3. Hunter would get the most votes. And then if Hunter votes Q and Q votes Hunter, Hunter goes home. So that's what they were doing. But they didn't tell Q that this was going down. So Q couldn't go try to cause some chaos and do anything stupid at Tribal. Instead, Q just sits at Tribal Council. He does nothing. He says nothing. He votes for Ben. He's the reason why there's a revote. And guess what? Hunter goes home. But Q can never say that he was a part of this vote. And so that's what they did.
Q's losing. I hope he gets like fifth place or something.
Oh, he's
but
so much fun.
The other thing that I'm actually thinking about when it comes to the Q vote is like, if you don't, oh God, I just lost my train of thought. But okay, there's nine of them, and then 4 and 4. I feel like there's no way for it to get screwed up. But oh, that's what I'm going. Okay, bitter juror wise, if you're Hunter, we got back on the train. If you're Hunter, are you more pissed at the four that were like, Hunter, I'm voting with you. You're looking at me to the side. We got the great camera shot. You go, are you voting Q? And you go, yes, I'm voting Q. The Liz, the Kinsey, and I'm assuming maybe Tiffany, because she hated Q so bad. She's like, put me on the Q side. Are you more mad at the people who said, I have your back in a vote split? Or are you more mad at somebody who was actually one of the ones that voted for you in that scenario if you're a bitter juror?
Here's how this goes, right? Venus, Liz, Kinsey all voted for Q. Everybody else voted for Hunter. On the revote, Liz still voted for Q. So Liz, like, actually may have been left out of this, poor Liz. But so Liz actually did vote for Q. If you're Hunter, Ben, Charlie, Maria, I don't think you really feel that hurt by them. I think it sucks. They sat there. You literally walked out while the three of them were sitting there on the beach talking about voting you out, and you didn't do anything about it. Let your Spidey senses go off. Just play the idol. But I think maybe you get more mad at Tiff in this scenario because Tiff was telling you this. I think the most mad he'd probably get is Kinsey, but is he going to be able to forgive this? Because Kinsey is who he was saying, you're my number one, 100%. I like you the most. I trust you the most, but I don't trust anybody else. She's the one who kept driving it home at the Tribal Council. I think that that's who he's going to be the angriest at. I don't think he's really going to be all that mad at Charlie, Ben, Maria, but is Hunter the kind of guy who just shrugs it off and says, this sucks? I look, the only person's perspective that we really have on how people are acting outside of the game is Venus. And she's saying plenty of mean things about Hunter, but I don't really trust Venus's opinion 100% on how people elsewhere feel about Hunter. So maybe Hunter does at Final Tribal seem bitter to Venus because he doesn't vote for Venus. But he's going to have to vote for somebody that he forgives, unless Charlie and Maria are the other two people sitting there, because he never got all that close with Charlie and Maria anyway.
One thing that's interesting to me about us saying, holy shit, what an amazing episode. Holy shit, last week was an amazing episode. How many of these people, of these 10, 9 or 10 people, are playing above average Survivor merge games? And how many are like obstacles, goats, or like playing bad where you have to work around their chaos? And I think that's just something between 45 and 46 of like, I loved 45 as well, but it seemed a little bit more cut and dry from week to week. And now 46, Q could have gone, Hunter could have gone, Tiffany could have gone, or no, if they both play idols, Q goes. It's just something where it's just so much more like amoeba going anywhere for this season.
Yeah. It's Gabon. I mean, and people say that they throw that around too often, and I've definitely done that on this podcast. Like, this is very Gabon-ish because Gabon is the easiest one to make this conversation with. But tonight at this tribal, I was like, oh my God, I got to go back and watch the Randy blindside. I got to go back and watch it. Like, I just, like, I'm craving Gabon while watching this season because there really is so much bad personal gameplay going on. Voting on Hunter tonight was the right move. Absolutely the right move. But the way they're talking to each other, the way they're trying to use each other as pieces in this game, it doesn't always feel right. It doesn't always feel good. And I think that this season right now, you do have a lot of meta gameplay. I was actually texting Alexa tonight. There you go, everybody. Alexa's still alive.
She's
still
like alive. And subscribe. Alexa like mentioned. Subscribe.
I said Alexa's name. Everybody go wild. So I was texting Alexa tonight and she said it feels too meta, but I actually, and I might be misquoting her there. She just said it felt very meta, maybe not too meta, but definitely very meta. And my thought process is, this is the first season where I actually think them thinking in a meta game is making the game better because they're all overthinking everything. Everything. Why are they overthinking it to the point where they can't? They are all just all over the place. Hunter going and making the mistake of, I am going to tell multiple people about my idol. He's overthinking it. Just go to tribal, play your idol like anybody would do in the old era of Survivor. Let them pile the votes on you. You play your idol. You look great. Who cares who goes home? You didn't. Instead, you go and you tell everybody and you confuse yourself. They've gotten so meta because they're so worried about what they're going to say at Final Three. You got to get to Final Three. JD says the gameplay this season is exactly what Phil and Dom Abate talked about in Winners at War retrospective. JD, what did we talk about? Please help me. Help me out. I'm curious.
I'm glad talk a lot remember. On these things. Yeah. And like, I think it's just something where why you're talking with Q at the beginning of the episode. It seems like you're in agreement of like, I mean, it sucks Tevin went home, but I wish I could have voted out Venus, even though she's sitting right next to you guys. You guys are talking about her. And it's like, how did Q and Hunter go from, if we shut up and we talk by the water and, oh, Hunter, you have an idol? Let's just, everyone, we're voting Hunter. Vote Hunter, vote Hunter, vote Hunter. That'll work. We'll use the idol. Get rid of the leader of whatever you think. Vote out Tiffany. It's time. And then Tiffany plays her idol. Okay, so now who's the other one? Get rid of her, Maria. And like, how did you not do that? Because like, where did their friendship go to take them from, oh, let's do this, to now Hunter's voting Q? I know Hunter had to, but it's just a thing where it's like, he's put in a corner, but how are you put in a corner so much, but then you don't think you need to play your idol? I don't get that layer.
Yeah, Charlie obviously could not be voted for tonight because he won immunity. People are so blind to the older woman. They're so blind. And I think Hunter's big downfall there is, oh, the guy with immunity and the older woman who I just competed with in this challenge to make it to the final leg and they beat me, whatever, or Charlie beat me. He's thinking, oh, good, they're telling me the truth, even though he really has no reason to believe Charlie and Maria. But there is something about, we saw it with Julie. We saw it with Julie Rosenberg going all the way back. I mean, there are so many players that you see playing similar to Maria where they don't necessarily get the credit at the final three, but they're telling you things that you're like, oh, I must just eat that up. why is Hunter eating that up? It doesn't make any sense. There's no reason he should have. And so, yeah, Hunter clearly wanted it to be, well, I don't want to just vote out Q if I play my idol. But if you get 8 votes and Q votes one way, then you vote, figure out where Q wants to vote. Vote out Venus, like you've been saying this whole time. Or if Q goes, then so what? Q goes. Who cares? Just let him go. You go out, find another hidden media idol, go win in a couple other challenges. I just think like he was blinded by something. It really, there was a lack of logic here. And I don't understand where Charlie and Maria came into all of this. It just felt out of nowhere.
One thing that goes through my head as somebody who's like poorer than they want to be too, if I got on Survivor, isn't there a big enough difference between 9th place and 8th place where you're like, that's a $5,000 difference. Like I'll cash in this idol for $5,000 for a better shot at another fight, like winning an immunity that gets me another $6,000 that gets me like, I don't know if anybody really thinks about money math, because I don't think we're privy to all this stuff besides $100,000 and $1,000,000. But that's something that pops in my head too, of like, man, just what does $5,000-$6,000 mean to you? Just play an idol and see the heat that comes from it. Or then everyone goes, great job, and you're a number one threat, but you were already going home. Who cares if you're in the number one threat at 8?
Yeah, and Will and I talk about this in we've been recapping Deal or No Deal Island, and we actually talk about this in a lot of our episodes because they do personal offers in Deal or No Deal Island where they'll say, if you take this offer, you get $20,000 and you get to just leave. One guy got a $100,000 offer and he said, sure, I'll take it. And then he leaves the island. Yeah, he can't win. He can't win whatever the final prize is going to be, but he leaves with $100,000. If you start looking at it from that perspective, yeah, you're 100% right. Because there is, I mean, you know, I don't think this is shocking news to anybody. There is increments. The more episodes of TV you're on, the more money you get paid. The better placement you finish, the more money you get paid. So advance a little bit further and then try to figure out how you're going to make things happen after that. Yeah, I totally agree with you. And especially if you're in Hunter's case, man, you're probably winning next week's challenge. You might win the week after that challenge. You might find another idol. There's going to be another one out there.
And Hunter specifically, I don't want to like stack, dog pile, but like you built all this stuff in your house. Like this is the stuff you crave. Oh, let me just do one more challenge. Like you have the opportunity to just say yes. Like it's a flow chart. Am I safe? Keep idol. Am I not safe? Play idol. Is just something where
do like, I not know? Yeah. Do yeah, I not like, know if I'm safe, even though I don't have immunity? Play idol. Like, yeah.
Like everyone, like it's trust myself, trust everyone. Okay, trust myself. I don't know. Yeah. Poor Hunter though. I feel like you have to be a Hunter right now, like based on how he handles this press, based on how he handles being a juror. I think not a shoe-in for an All-Stars, but definitely someone that like, oh, would be a person that could be on a Tribe against a Jonathan. And how are we going to balance an All-Stars thing? I think one thing that popped in my head too, just because like the thought process of, oh, 50 hasn't been decided. I think 50 will be all brand new era people. And there will be an absolute shit ton of people from 46, just like Australia had a bunch on the original All-Star season. Yeah. I think 46 is clearly going to have 5 or 6 of these people based on how they finish here and how they act. Act is a weird word. How they present themselves. They'll be on that season because I'm guessing you can't bring people to an All-Star season of Survivor for 26 days if they played 39 before and they're going to be like, this is it? And have that.
I could see them go back. Yeah, they might not be able to go back to 39, but I could see something. We'll talk a lot about that stuff. Let me ask you this quick question and you can give a quick answer, because then I actually want to go back to the beginning of the episode. I want to work our way through now that we're 30 something minutes in.
Great.
Is this the best cast of the new era?
I think yes. I think every single person I looked at in pre-show where I was like, I don't know, or maybe not. There's only been like maybe one dud, which I won't say because we could get there later. But like everyone has kind of delivered. Everyone has had a story that's been perfect for their moment. everyone has had like, screw you, I hope you die and burn in hell moments where you're like, that doesn't happen very often. We've also had some like, this is just a fun dude type of moments. Like everything that I kind of want in a Survivor season, like the next four episode could be the most cut and dry alliance gets made and then pagong, pagong, pagong. And I'd still be like, but the first eight episodes though were so sick. And like we have three ticking time bombs right now of Venus is going to explode. Q is going to atomically explode when he goes. Mm. And then Liz is screaming in the preview. Yeah. Like, what are we in store for before May come in? Or I guess the next episode will be literally the 31st or something.
Yeah.
May 1, I don't know. But like, this may be the best even season, maybe the best new era season ever.
Yeah, no, and I agree. So let's go back to the front, but first let me do my little plugs here. Idle Plays. There's my puzzle that I still have not finished. I still only have two pieces left.
Put a piece in right now. We'll wait.
I can't. It would be embarrassing how long it would take me. But if you want to get these puzzles, we got a link below. We got this. We got the Fitz Tower, and we got the Will Go Round. So those are fun. Haven't done the Fitz Tower yet. Maybe that'll be for my final episode, for the finale of this season. I'll do that. Mm. Also, if you are confused about how you're supposed to make a casting tape now for the new era of Survivor, maybe Adam Klein can help. So reach out to Adam Klein. We got a link below in the description of this video. He's trying to help you figure out how to be your best self when you're putting these videos together. Let him know the specialist sent you. Let him know that happened. And hey, maybe you're looking at this going, I don't know how I'm supposed to be this. I've been putting together one type of thing, thinking that that's how they cast these things. And then they totally changed it. And now I don't know how I'm supposed to be putting my video together anymore. Reach out to Adam. It could be beneficial. Okay. I want to go
real
back
quick. Real quick. You love Q, right? I'm on love Q. Like,
oh, of course.
I want Q. Like, I don't care that he pissed off three people and two people were like your mama. Like, I want as many episodes as Q as possible. And I'm just saying that to get it out there.
100%. Q is sugar. Q is like, I'm trying to think of another example. But sugar, I think, is a great example. I think Corinne or Randy from that season is a great example. You want as many episodes of that person as you can possibly get. There is a, I think that Q is a self-aware person. I think that Q is somebody who does not like to be out of control. And therefore, he does kind of go off on these random things all the time. I love Q. Q is great. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think there's a single person in this cast that they brought them back for All-Stars that I would say, I don't want them there. But Q better be one of the people they bring back. That's okay. My opinion on this. I think Q needs to play Survivor again. He's like Philip Shepard, but with a bigger upside. Like, he's a Philip Shepard that can win the game. So whoever that is, that's who it is.
I think one thing that piqued my interest, because it continued a random story from last episode, Ben hates Q almost. Of like, oh, he's like, he's that. Like, there's a rivalry there where he's like, hey man, he just doesn't like playing from the bottom. He's trying to take control. And it's so interesting because Ben hasn't led a vote. Ben hasn't, hey man, I don't really like that kind of person. Get him out of here. So that being like so different from his normal kumbaya rock is very interesting to me of like, who is going to win this rivalry? Maybe this is a thing where next episode we see a final two challenge of Q versus Ben, and Ben's like, I don't really try in challenges, but I'm going to win this one. And like Q's screwed or something. Like, I think this is the first time I've watched an episode where I'm like, I want to see the next episode so bad already.
I was binging right now.
Like, yeah, the people that are watching this 5 years from now are going to zoom through this all in a night from like 4 a.m. until 8 a.m. and be like, well, that was good. But now my whole sleep schedule's messed up. I'm just jealous of those people in 2027 right now.
Dude, like, and that's what I'm saying. That's where it gives me like the old school vibe. Cause the old school vibe, that's how I would watch those seasons. Now, when you rewatch them, we don't sit here and watch one episode of Thailand every week. You watch it all back to back to back. So Thailand is a lot more palatable because you're watching it back to back to back. But when you get into like those seasons like Amazon, like Pearl Islands, then even further along, even when you get to a season like Guatemala, Panama, Cook Islands, you start doing these episodes and you say, oh my God, I can't wait to watch the next one. You got to see the next one. I mean, I'm watching them with my wife. So when we watch like China, it'd be like, oh, we got after episode, what is it, the final eight when Frosty goes home, I'm like, we have to watch the next episode. She's like, oh yeah, yeah, I'm excited to see. And James goes home. Like, it's great. Like, you get so stoked for that stuff in a way that I don't think we've been seeing in the new era every time. I love this. I am so in on it. And I want to go back to the beginning of the episode because I think it's important. We actually have a confessional from Q that says, in my personal life, when I mess up, I want to take accountability. And so I was trying to leave, but nobody would vote me out. So he was essentially saying, please, you know, like, kill me. Get me out of here. I don't want to do it myself. That was interesting to me that there wasn't a bigger plan behind this.
I think that sentence means something different to Q that 99% of Survivor fans, Survivor players, and producers don't exactly mean. Like, I don't consider Q as a quit. I see it as all gameplay. I know he straight up says, I did. I wanted to take accountability. I screwed up with Tiffany. But he would literally walk out. Right after that, Kinsey goes, you can walk out their door. No one's stopping you, bud. And so the fact that Q goes back, tries hard, he's trying to win a challenge, he's not rolling over, he's not saying, vote me out this time. He could have been like, no, I'll take the bullet. Hunter, don't vote out for Hunter. I'm just going to quit. That we've seen that happen. Q maybe had a lapse, maybe had a South means something. I'm from Texas. That's not exactly the same South, but like, when everyone who's been relying on you looks at you sideways, there's some people that's worse than death for them. Mm-hmm. Of there's a grandpa I've had, there's an uncle I've had. They would hate for women in their life, kids in their life, to be like, you let us down. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's where this mindset's coming in. I'm not trying to pretend I can get into the mind of Q because I wouldn't last 10 minutes in there. But I don't think Q quit. So someone did mention of like on our chat, they were like, kind of weird that you would want him back for All-Stars when he just tried to quit last episode. I don't really see that as a quit. And I think somebody like Q expressing himself and changing the game of how he could change Survivor is more interesting than if he was on the bottom of Alliance in All-Stars and quit episode 2, I would still be happy for the two episodes of Q because I think he's such a unique viewpoint.
I totally agree. And then Connor Utt here says, I think he was genuinely upset he ruined Tiff's game. He might have been, and he's like too proud to say it. When he tried to talk to Kenzie, Kenzie shut him down so bad. I mean, Kenzie was not having it at all. Kenzie pretty much gave the Clay Jordan, since we're on Thailand, answer of, I don't want your vote. I'm not going to get your votes. I'm not going to answer the question. That's literally what Kenzie pretty much did here. She doesn't care, and it's going to come down to she doesn't feel like dealing with it. Q, you blew this up. This is your problem. You can hold it against me later if you really want to, but this is your problem, not mine. The other thing, you were talking about how Ben was so pissed at Tribal, and somebody said they actually felt like Ben was being mean to Q. That was Zach, who is a patron. So, Zach, thank you, and I'll be nice here. Ben was pretty mean at Tribal to Q. Good. Q is acting like he's so above everybody else out there. And again, this is coming from somebody who genuinely enjoys Q on TV. I didn't get to meet him, but I'm sure he's a very nice guy. I'm not worried about that. Like, I like Q, but I am glad that Ben is saying essentially, fuck you. Shut up. You're not the king of this island. Like he said, that was a poser move. That is Ben flipping him the bird. Okay. That's what Ben is doing when he's calling him a poser, which I love. But then at Tribal, what Ben is getting at is he's acting like we're not playing the game. And because he's leaving, now we can all play the game. No, we've all been playing and we all want to be here and we all want to play the game well. So who are you to tell us that we're not playing it? You think you're so important. You're so self-important that you're going to act like we can't have the Survivor experience until you grant it to us? No, not going to happen. Good for Ben. And also, honestly, at that moment, I said, ooh, Ben could actually win at a final tribal council.
I think win. Finn showed some bite, which is good and bad, because, okay, the audience can see Ben can win in the finals because he can talk his way out of stuff and say some stuff. But then everyone else saw that too. So I think we may get some, like, if Ben makes final five, I think there may be like, oh, he's too likable. We got to get him out right now. Mm-hmm. I think the other thing that was crazy about the Ben stuff is just saying the words like, Q was by himself on the beach all day long.
That was nice.
I wasn't talking to anybody. And then Ben goes, it was nice.
Yeah,
is one of the craziest, slipperiest snake things. And like, I think that's something where I love, like, at its core, obviously Survivor's a social game. And whenever you see somebody who's like beloved by everyone, who's singling you out and stabbing you with a snaky comment like that, you're probably like, fuck, I am on the
sorry for starting the F-bomb train here, but it was necessary. No, and that's the truth, man. I mean, now he's been chewed out by Kenzie. He's been chewed out by Ben. And I also am liking that this Ben and Kenzie situation is legit. Their relationship is real. They're going back and forth to each other of saying, we could do this, we could do this, we could do this, we could do this. When Hunter said he was going to throw the vote at Ben, pretty much everybody rallied to make sure it wasn't Ben in this moment. Sometimes in these types of seasons, if we do get a Gabon-esque ending, it's just going to come down to who do they like the most sitting at the final three, which based on Venus's comments makes me think a man is going to win over two women. That's just based on what she tweeted. But that's just what I think is going to happen. And that likable man could be Charlie or it could be Ben.
Here's one thing that I don't know if this is about to light up chat, but Jeff was on a crazy another level today of he is now the 10th player that you either have to like, shut up, Jeff. Why are you saying all nine of us are here? There's three trios. Why are you basically goading me right now before I play? Why are you pointing out Venus, Liz, and Q and going, I know y'all ain't winning. Like, if that happens from one of these other eight people, I can vote them out. But you're making me look bad right now. And then he starts off the tribal going, let me get my cushion ready. Let me get my popcorn. Like, yes, he passes the popcorn over. But if you're somebody who's like, I thought we had a really straightforward vote tonight, and now Jeff's acting a fool over there with his popcorn, what's really going on here? Like, that should have, like, I don't know if you're Hunter and you see the popcorn shit, how do you not play your fucking idol tonight?
I know. Like, and what? Here we go. Like, I got my image of Courtney Yates here right now. We need her back. We need her back. Oh, thanks, Jeffrey. Thanks, Jeff. Yeah, no, thanks, Jeff, for pointing out that I'm the weakest person here. Thanks for doing this stuff. We need that. We need that kind of attitude. And I did like that they all kind of laughed and, like, you know, Venus just reacted to it and was like, yeah, oh, Jeff, whatever. But the thing is, you're putting that in people's heads. Now, let's go through the psychology of this a little bit before I finally get to how great Charlie played tonight. Guys, it's coming. I'm going to talk about how great Charlie played tonight. But here's the deal.
He must have knew there was a new Taylor Swift album that was going to premiere before this last episode of this one.
And it was a double album.
Double eviction, double album. She planned it.
Life. Oh my God. Okay. But here's the problem with this. This is where I think it did cross a line. You want to point out literal things of you're not that good at the challenge. Okay, that's fine. War Dog, you can't throw. I always like going to the beanbag thing because that one always just blew my mind. I think it blew a lot of people's mind. You're not going to beat this person in a challenge, whatever. But here's the thing. When I was an athlete, if we played against a team in a sport where we had lost to them the first time, my dad would do the whole, like, remember how it felt when you lost to that, you know, whatever. You go through, like, the whole spiel, the whole fake pump-up thing, whatever you can do for a 10, 11-year-old, you know, whatever. Good stuff. Good for you, Dad. You did a good job. But anyway, so you do this kind of thing. Or you start going the opposite route, right, of some people will start, and this kind of happened to me as I got into, like, high school and stuff, if they don't think I can win, so I'm going to go win. That's what I'm going to do. Jeff is pumping
not your
up.
Dad. Yeah, he's not their dad.
He's not their dad. Why is he giving them ammunition? it doesn't make sense. And it made me a little frustrated at that moment. I don't mind the stuff with Popcorn Gate. I don't mind with the cushion and him passing around. That's fine. I don't care. But I don't like that because you're psychologically messing with players and that can give unfair advantages. Now, people might say, oh, Phil, you're overreacting. I don't really care. That's my opinion.
You don't really care. It's what? Your opinion. Bro, it's time to overreact. I think it's so funny because the very first thing he said of this, like, it's literally burned into my brain. Hey, guys, what a great group of 18 people we got set into three groups. One of you is going to get third place and not get a single vote. One of you guys has no chance of winning whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And that's something where I'm like, why are they putting that? Because, like, editors can do whatever the hell they want. We've seen that for 700 years since 1537. But like, why are they putting in this weird Jeff shit? Like, yeah. Is this going to get referenced? And like, I don't think I ever watched Survivor thinking like this of like, what are these breadcrumbs? I can't wait to eat these things. Hansel and Gretel my ass into some oven right now. Like, who is going to lose at final three? Is it going to be Q or is it going to be Venus or is it going to be Liz? And I think it's going to be hilarious seeing like getting them compared to an Owen or a Jake for the rest of their lives of like, what would you rather be as a Survivor super fan when you get on your favorite show finally? Would you rather be somebody who wanted to always change everything and made it to final three, but then it was like, oh, you had no agency, you lose? Or would you rather be someone who thinks they morphed the whole game themselves and everyone hated you the whole time and now you have to watch back? But like, to say one thing about Venus, once again, she has a confessional where she goes, I don't know why these guys, like, she talks to Hunter and Q, not her favorite people. She goes, oh, they're so mean to me, that was rude, all these people have just stonewalled me since the beginning. And then in her confessional, after saying someone else was rude, calls them buffoons and like idiots immediately. And you're like, it'd be so much more likable, or like, I would be on your side, Venus. And I get that a confessional is different from on a beach where we're all wearing swimsuits and digging in the sand. But like, you're not a bad person. You're doing bad things too, Venus. Like, they should think that about you.
I think what's making it hard with Venus right now is that Venus isn't just saying it in confessionals. She's also saying it to them when they're on the island. Right. And her and Hunter clearly had a problem with each other, and we'll see how that ends up going. But Venus is getting left out of a lot of stuff. But then you're wondering, like, how much is she left out? The leftovers of Liz, Q, and Venus being paired up as the trio, going up against the other two trios, definitely. Like, and then it was like, oh, wow, that was so easy. Well, yeah, it was easy. But, like, again, I agree with you. I'm curious how much I'm supposed to actually feel bad for Venus, because part of me does a little, but then another part of me is like, what are we not seeing that is making even the most positive people on this cast say, I don't really want to work with Venus?
I mean, and that may just be like, I don't think I've ever said scoreboard before when talking about my Survivor placing, but like, if I'm on a season with Venus, and we haven't, like, maybe I would, like, I think I had a spot like this recently. Like, anytime I see somebody who's been ostracized, or maybe they are, watch out, they're pretty prickly, Blake, or you got to watch them around there. I, instead of being like Stonewall, I always am like, I'm the one who will be their best friend. I'll try my best. I'll see it. And a couple times it has backfired so bad for me where it was like, I should have listened to everyone. Like, if more than two people are calling this person crazy or hard to work with, maybe that, but like, maybe some people would say that about me. So I would be like, I kind of get it. But like, Venus seems like someone where it's like, you should have listened to what everyone else said, because as soon as you are like, I'm going to give Venus a bit of the doubt, I'm going to work with her closely, now you're the next on the chopping block because you're a shield for Venus instead of that.
Yeah.
You need to talk about Charlie. Talk about Charlie. Go.
Yeah, I do, dude. Now we've talked
about Charlie. Everybody.
Quick. Okay, so here's the deal. We're 52 minutes in. If you haven't liked the video yet, like the video. It helps us a lot. We'd appreciate it. We have one downvote, so let's make sure. Oh, wait, we have two downvotes. Probably from your Venus speech. Probably had Venus people in here who are like, yo, we hate you. So everybody else, please upvote this video. We really appreciate it. But here's the Charlie situation. This is what's great. They pair off into threes. Ben, Kenzie, Tiffany go together. Charlie sticks with Maria, who's his closest ally, and he goes with Hunter. Now he is approached by Q and told, hey, Q. Q says, hey, Charlie, you guys should lose this on purpose so Hunter doesn't have a chance. And Charlie says, that's not me. And instead, Charlie goes out there and he says, actually, I'm just going to beat Hunter. So now he's the one who beat Hunter the day that Hunter went home. Gigantic check mark for him. Instead of just losing on purpose, pissing off Hunter and make letting somebody else have control of the game, he said, no, I will put myself with the person that we think is the biggest physical threat that we should get rid of. So let me be in control of that. And then he goes and beats him in a really great physical challenge. Good for him. Love that. Then we get after the challenge. He's the one who's talking to Maria. They're coming up with the plan. We're going to blindside Tiffany. He pulls Maria aside and Maria says, ooh, but I want this to be my move. And Charlie says, well, this is great though, because it puts a huge target on Kenzie's back. There's two things that Charlie is doing with this. One, it does put a huge target on Kenzie's back. Two, it takes his number one ally, which is Maria, and takes away what would be her biggest move if they sit next to each other at the final three. Of course, Charlie wants to move forward with this. It gets rid of Tiffany, who's a threat to win the game. It gets rid of her idol. It makes Kenzie a huge target and an easy person to pick off further down the line. If Hunter is still in the game, he's an easy person to pick off, and everybody's bothered by Q. Now he's going to final three. And the people he's going to be sitting with aren't going to have made the moves that they need to make to beat him, because visually they have seen, the other people on the jury have seen Charlie do the work. Maria needs to do her work behind the scenes. She needs to do her work through the strategic game and through the social game. And Charlie, with that one line, whether he meant it or not, it definitely was working. He took away what her strength is. After he proved what his strength could be, which is winning the physical challenges, he says, nope, if it's going to be Kenzie's move, let it be Kenzie's move. Because at the end of the day, the one person whose move it wouldn't have been when Tiffany went home is Charlie's. But then he's the one who goes over and talks to Tiffany, and he gets to relay all of the information about Tiffany having the idol. She's just going to burn it. She wants to get rid of it. It totally makes sense. I get it. Charlie played this episode perfect. And I got to be honest, Maria played it pretty damn well too. I just think Charlie is coming out looking a little bit prettier after all of this. Plus, if Charlie is sitting at final three, who told Tiffany about the idol? Charlie told Tiffany that he was told about the idol, not Maria. Tiffany, that's a big up for him. Hunter, ooh, Charlie, you beat me the day I went home. I have to respect that. And you didn't really piss me off with your votes. Tevin and Soda, they're just not going to vote for Anami. So maybe they just vote for Charlie. Those first two people on the jury are always a little random. And then you start looking at people further in line. Ben is crying for Charlie because Charlie wins immunity. Okay, that's a win for Charlie. Get out of here. Charlie's already got four votes and we haven't even gotten into it. He wins. He played this episode as well as he could. And the crazy part is, they're not looking at him as a massive physical threat in the same light as Hunter, even though he just beat Hunter.
Sheesh. Go, Charlie. What? Why even watch the next six episodes? Like, let's just give it to Charlie now. Like, I think that's what I love about this season is, like, you just said all that. Charlie probably immediately gets backstabbed next week.
Yeah, oh, I can see it for sure. For sure. And I would love it. Like, you know what? I'm not sold that he's going to win. This is probably how I would have felt about Maddie during Gabon if I was podcasting.
Right. And like Tiffany gets through with an idol after we all said we don't want Tiffany to get through with an idol. So as much as I'm calling my friend Hunter, my personal friend Hunter that I've been friends with forever.
Years.
I don't. He was greedy. But Tiffany got to be greedy everyone allowed her to be greedy. Zero votes to her name. And I think that's a thing where, like, when you want to be greedy with your idol, if somebody's already being greedy with theirs, maybe that's when it's like, Tiffany beat you to the punch. Sorry. You just got outplayed. And but you want to be here to still go tomorrow to try and outplay someone again, just play it. But like, Tiffany, are we going to do this whole song and dance for Final Eight of Tiffany goes, I'm going to flush it now. Like, I don't even want it anymore. It's just a big target. And then she doesn't play it again. And then she doesn't play it again. And now she's in Final Five. And you're like, how the hell did Tiffany get here when she's been Maria's number one target? And I think maybe that'll be a case where, like, well, Maria, if you had your way, like, Tiffany would have gone home at 10. Mm-hmm. Tiffany made it to Final Five. You really didn't have any agency.
Yeah, and so when we look at this Final Eight now, Tiffany has an idol. Is she going to be more heightened? Because when I did the predictions and power rankings with Caleb this past weekend, I thought that Hunter
like and subscribe that.
Yeah, like and subscribe. Go watch the video. Caleb was a great guest. Can't wait. We're having Kelly on this week. It's just going to be me and Kelly.
I love Kelly.
Yeah, 12:30 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday. Kelly Nalbandian. I hope I said that right. Probably did not. It's going to be the two of us podcasting, doing our prediction power rankings. But when I did it with Caleb, I was talking about how I felt Hunter and Tiffany were going to be very on edge with their idols because Tiffany now knows everybody has it. I thought she would burn it, which is what she talked about doing. And I thought Hunter losing Tevin, he doesn't have a number one that he feels comfortable with, so he's going to play his idol. Hunter doesn't do it. Tiffany doesn't do it. But at least the conversation was there for Tiffany. And so, and it was there for Hunter too, but Hunter's gone. My question is, do you think that Tiffany is feeling real good moving forward and she's not going to play that idol? And do you think Kenzie has a shot to take her out now at Final Eight? Because Kenzie's ready to strike. Kenzie is seeing that she might not beat Tiff at Final Three.
I forgot about that layer of Kenzie looking at three people and going,
"Let's go right.
Do not tell Tiffany about this or I'm toast." And now she has to go sleep next to those people that don't have to keep Kenzie's secret forever. Yeah. Like, people are playing bad this season.
like
you need to say all that stuff when you have the shot and you have all the information, but it kind of feels like this season is very ask for forgiveness later. But Tiffany hates Q so much where if any of those Sega people go, well, you should hate Kinsey too, because you almost went home last night. Who is Tiffany going to turn to? And then it's like, how many people are on an island where, like, no one wants to work with Venus? No one wants to work with Q. If Kinsey and Tiffany break up, Tiffany's going to be on an island too, where you're like, can we have a triple boot just to scoot this ahead so we could get rid of this? Like, these people can't work together. Like, I think if anybody had been like a Russell Hance, I hate using that as an example, but he's the person who goes, I wanted to plant seeds. It feels like somebody planted 15 seeds in four people and all of them are sprouting right now. And like, you want to give Q some kind of credit for this, but he's never going to win where anybody could go like, you running us left way, sideway, backwards and forwards made us all go crazy. Like, And Liz, I didn't even say Liz, like Liz is about to explode. Like four people are on an island. And then there's Maria, Ben, like Siga, and Kinsey. I think you mentioned that. Like,
yeah.
If you're betting $1 million of your own money on who could win, and it's half Siga and Kinsey and half the other dude, I would ask for more million to bet on that side.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I would love if somebody from Liz, Venus, Q, or Tiffany all get together and go, bro, we are literally the long shots, and
as
we have to take these people out.
As you just spelled that out, what's funny is it suddenly doesn't seem as unpredictable. It seems like it's the Seegas and Kenzie. Kenzie's just going to be the one who's going to flip on Tiffany, and Tiffany's going to go home. But I think what makes it more chaotic is Liz and Venus feel like people who are going to make it to the Final Three. They really do. Venus, there's no way. You were just saying the $1 million thing. If I had $1 million and you had a I could make one bet this year on the Survivor season for the final eight now, it would be that Venus is sitting at the final three and is the zero vote finalist. She is not winning. And the fact, like, look, I understand, I'm not harping on this, but it is what she said. And I think the tweet has since been deleted, but she said there was a lot of misogyny on her season. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. I wasn't there. However, to me, that also could mean she sits at final three next to Maria or next to Kenzie or next to Tiffany or next to Liz, and Charlie is there, or Q. No, Q's not winning. So, or Charlie or Ben are there, and Charlie or Ben win the season over somebody Venus herself felt was more deserving of the win. That's what this is reading like to me. So I can't help but think that this is something. And Captain Obvious, who's been agreeing with me a lot here, Phil, a lot of us have said that weeks ago. Yes, but
is
I was
that
trying
really
to
really the Captain that. Obvious from that
it's
one
the,
commercial.
It's the well, this oh, Captain God. Obvious agrees with Will a lot, so it's probably not the Captain
it's
Obvious.
Will. There's eight people left.
Five women, three men.
When's the last time we had more women than men? Has that been a new era thing yet?
Last season. At final five, sure. there were three women, two men. At final seven, final seven, there were four women, three men.
I like doing Survivor trends like this of like, okay, women maybe go in the early game, but like when final eight or final seven comes around, we are going after dudes at 12, 11, and 10.
Four women and two men in the final six.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So 43
was really the one that was male heavy.
So Gabler and Yam Yam pulled it off, but everyone else, like I would say misogyny can come in all different kinds of ways. I don't want to step on this line, but like maybe it's not we didn't like women. It's we didn't like you, Venus. It's not I just didn't like you, Venus.
Well, and that's, I think, like, that's pretty much why I didn't want to read too much into the tweets at first. And look, I understand that we're two guys sitting here talking about this right now, but I can also only say what I saw and you know, what I'm seeing on TV. Like, maybe she's feeling that way, but, like, her confessionals don't feel all that different from what she's actually saying in the episode. So, I don't know, man. Like, look, Venus and Q, if you want to play Survivor again, get on the bus. Like, I'm ready. Let's have it happen. But I don't think either one of them are winning this season. I don't think they have a chance in hell. And honestly, I don't think that their reads on everything that was going on tonight or have been going on this season are actually very good. And Andy, he didn't actually call her unlikable. He called her unkillable. He said, V, you're unkillable. That's what the word was. Which I thought was a very interesting word.
Venus does fire and gets Charlie out and then wins the whole season.
If she wins the whole season and she's this mad at her cast afterwards.
Scoreboard.
I don't understand. I'd be very happy if people gave me $1 million. So did we miss anything? Is there anything in here that we didn't talk about?
We didn't talk about the Elsbeth commercials. There was a weird Elsbeth commercial where somebody's face has like a whole bunch of chicken pox on it. And like, but that's not the person in the diet. It's the person that took care of her. Turn into CBS tomorrow to see Elsbeth.
McKenna and I are going to be recapping The Amazing Race tomorrow. That's fun.
Oh my gosh. Get me out of Amazing Race talk.
We've been doing The Amazing Race.
I killed a spider. What else? What else happened during the episode?
Let's do some props. Let's get some prop bet updates. I haven't done prop bet in a while. Ben had the episode title tonight. He said Spicy Jeff. He had already had an episode title, so that doesn't really matter. Who was it that went home?
You don't Hunter. Remember Hunter?
Hunter is not the winner. He did not cry physical tear. He did get a hidden immunity idol. I don't believe, because we're not counting the votes when they get them, like, oh, we voted, then it's a tie, then we vote again. It doesn't count as, like, you know, that. And I think even if
he technically goes home in a 4-4-1, and they never count those extra votes in any True Dork Times or any other compiler like Peridium.
Yes, exactly. So he does not get 10 or more votes. He does, I guess, then he either has to get 10 or more or 5 or less. Which one is it going to be?
Did he have one before tonight? Because it'd be 4.
I guess he should get 10 or more. Oh, no. You know what? He had 2 in episode 7. So he's had votes already. So, yeah. So
he's right in the middle.
Yeah, he's right in the middle. He did win individual immunity. So did Charlie. Where's Charlie? There's Charlie. Hunter made the jury. Hunter did not hug Jeff. He did not sit out three times. Yes, I'm just rattling these off now. He had a confessional in every episode he was in. I'm not sure. Actually, let's look at the Survivor confessional count real quick, because Will always gets mad when I bring this up. But
who's your favorite person to look that up on Twitter? Is there a
I always go, so I hate to admit this, but the one I find on Reddit that has it compiled the fastest is Swifty Nation. I'm not sure if that's Rob's fact checker or if it's Charlie or if it's Taylor Swift herself. Hunter had 33 confessionals this season, got one in every episode. Venus just hit the 40 confessional mark. So that is something that we add to the bunch here, where she had 40 confessionals in one episode.
She was she was neither silent or silenced. Just very pro women to get 40 confessionals.
That's very good. I mean, I will say tonight's episode might be the most evenly edited of the season. Most was 6 from Kenzie. Least was 2 from Ben and Maria. But Ben and Maria both felt like they had more than 2. They, I don't know. Those felt like it had more than that. So anyway, I feel like this was very evenly edited because Maria and Ben definitely felt like they were more a part of the story. So anyway, I'll just say that. Let me go back over here. Let's go through Hunter the most. He did not get 40 confessionals in the season. I don't know if he said hide and seek. I have to go back and look at that. He went home with an unused advantage. He did not use his shot in the dark. And I got to go back and look at the alcohol at the reward at the merge portion of this game. So
are people loving the prop bets? Is that how many people are doing prop bets?
There's a good amount. I actually have to like update it. We had 100 entries.
Sheesh.
So that was pretty good. The over under game. Let's see. Nope. We're not going to get 5.5 votes lost throughout the season. I don't know if we're going to hit that. 4.5 rewards at the sanctuary. I don't think we're going to have that. I don't think we're going to get enough rewards. I don't know how many we've had so far. I'll have to look.
That's something that, just to stick it to New Era real quick, them being like, Q was crazy last night, but we have a whole nother tribal tonight, I think is equal parts cool because of how chaotic tribal was. But boy, was that challenge long. And boy, yes, was talking at, like, there was nothing visually different where, like, basically if this was an episode of China, we would have gone to the Great Wall in between a vote out and had, like, our alliances tested by who did I take to Great Wall with me. And then when they were back home, they all talked about us.
Well, and the thing is, like, they, Jeff was talking about a tribal tonight. Oh, you guys, what do you mean you haven't actually figured it out? You had all day. They didn't have all day. They pretty much woke up, went to the challenge. You can see that Ben is still exhausted and like has sleep in his eyes when they're picking their 3-person teams. They then go to a really long challenge. They go back. They're probably at camp for like 2 hours. They have to do confessionals and everything during that time. And then they go to tribal. Like, they did not have all day. Okay. I just got to say that.
And then I think final thought, because who needs to talk about Survivor for 90 minutes? Final thought. Why are we doing a 3-person challenge?
Oh, I like this. They used to do this in the old days. I like this challenge. I like having the teams and then going forward and then having like the remaining people compete. I actually think that's fun, that you get eliminated throughout.
Because we could have ran it in heats and then you don't have to rely on somebody. Like, I know there's been some, but I think the interesting thing is we said, here's the possibility of doing that to Hunter, but it gets paid off in a different way. But like, that would be like, I am the guy that was the WWE person on Millennials Johnny Mundo. I know him as John Morrison, right? It's John Morrison, right? So I could completely take you guys out, win every challenge, and then you just auto lose here is a more feels bad than like getting tribe swapped and tribe screwed or whatever. So like, I don't know. It's just something where I'm like, please, can we just do fun individual immunities instead of like,
this doesn't bother me. They've done this in the past. I'd say it's worked about half the time. Half the time it works, half the time it doesn't.
They used to be rewards. Thank you, somebody in the chat, for helping.
Well, they used to be, but they've done this for immunity before too.
These used to be rewards. I agree with rewards. When it's my $1 million on the line, I want to rely on my ass only.
Yeah. No, you don't, Blake. You would love that Hunter on your team. Get out of here.
Jeez.
All right. Become a patron. Like the video. Subscribe to the channel. I'll be doing my after show tomorrow. McKenna and I will be doing our amazing race recap tomorrow at noon. So stay tuned for that. I'm live with Kelly from season 45 on Sunday at 12:30. Will be back next Wednesday. Not exactly sure what time it's going to be. It might be right after the episode. It might be a little bit later, depending on if there's something going on down here in the old state of Florida. So I might be live right after, might not be. Tune into our Deal or No Deal Island stuff. John and I have been doing the Cinema Specialist. It's been a really good time. If you haven't checked it out, not many people have checked it out, but I'm still enjoying talking about the movies. We did Jojo Rabbit this week. I love Jojo Rabbit. Just a great movie. So go ahead, check those out. Make sure you look at our Survivor connections. Hopefully Blake edited the next one so that he can send it over to Will so Will can post it. He's shaking his head, which means no. But yeah, that's what we got. Thank you all so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode, and we'll see you next time.
Keep it real. RIP.